Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are live together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, bright and early on this Tuesday with so much to get to. DRS exactly 1 week from tonight. It's the Midsummer Classic in Atlanta. That's the MLB All-Star Game in 2025. So the final few days of the opening half, even though we're midway through this season, and then some in Major League Baseball. A recap of a 10-game slate on a Monday night in the bigs ahead of another full slate Tuesday in MLB. And it's hot. Maybe that ball will be flying across the United States on this Tuesday night. DRS will also continue to talk some NBA offseason action, NFL offseason action as well. Our playoff profiles continue on this Tuesday all around the National Football League and oh so much more, including more chaos at the All England Club in Wimbledon. Plenty to get to here on this Tuesday.
No doubt about it. You know, I wasn't going to stay up last night to watch my Phillies take on the Giants because you knew that would be a low-scoring game. Hint, 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 later in the show, the Phillies won't score again tonight, so an under eight looks like a fantastic play. We'll just let you in on a little bit of secrets there now. Also understand this. I told you, junk in the trunk yesterday in Cincinnati, Ben. 5-1 victory for the Marlins yesterday. My guy was dealing yesterday, but yes, a lot of people getting paid in the NBA. But you know what I did last night? Hey, man, Summer League game's on Sixers. Let me get a look in again at Vijay Edgecombe. A little boo-boo on my thumb, which I love the Summer League. The high draft picks play like one time out of seven games and just enjoy it while there.
A great Summer League debut for Vijay Edgecombe over the weekend. But DRS, he is truly a Philadelphia 76er now if he has a slight thumb contusion and misses the second game of his pro career, ingratiating himself to that franchise and fan base in the city of brotherly love. As our 2022 NBA Rookie of the Year, Paolo Banchero, certainly did in Orlando. And because of all the success he has had in his short NBA career, Paolo signs a Supermax, or at least a max rookie contract yesterday. A five-year deal worth $239 million that could be as rich as $287 million. The rookie max for Paolo Banchero that also includes a player option, a first for a rookie max extension since Luka Doncic and Trae Young in 2021. But it is clear, DRS, they're it for the Magic. They have their young core. Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, and with the addition of Desmond Bane via trade this offseason with the Memphis Grizzlies, Orlando has very high hopes entering 2025-26.
What do you do when you sign that big extension? Like, he was already making good money as a top overall pick in the NBA from a few short years ago. Probably has a sneaker deal out there, a lot of endorsements. But just that amount of money being splashed into your bank account, I don't know, they get paid weekly, quarterly. I have no idea how it gets paid, but my goodness. Like, what's the celebration? Do you go on vacation? Do you buy another house? Do you buy a Lambo? Do you just go out to a nice dinner, man? Congratulations to the kid. You work hard, good things happen. And this guy has, look, He just made, what, 239 that could be 287.
Yeah.
Wait for five more years when he's still in his prime, what that contract is going to look like as well. Amazing stuff, man. The kid deserves it. In Orlando, hey, a destination now in the NBA. It's been a long time.
The number one overall pick back in 2022 won the Rookie of the Year that ensuing season, 22-23, an all-star his following year, and despite DRS only playing 46 games in the regular season this year, averaged a career best at nearly 26 points per game. Orlando, a destination, perhaps, as you alluded to, at least a destination in the Eastern Conference with the third best price at 5-1 to win that conference title entering this upcoming season. What do you do when you get paid in Orlando? You go to Disney World and you celebrate around Epcot, I would hope. DRS, 1 week from tonight, all-star game in Atlanta. The day before, Monday evening coming up, the home run derby. Only four participants listed so far, but the Georgia native and the outfielder for the Minnesota Twins, Byron Buxton, confirms that he will be a member of the home run derby on Monday.
Yeah, I like this, but that's not what's supposed to happen here. And I get upset when the best players in baseball, the best players in the NBA, in the biggest competition, which in the NBA is a dunk competition, nobody wants to do it. Home run derby, I still take this back to when the Miami Marlins hosted it a few short years ago, when you had, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Gary Sanchez, knocking baseballs off the windows in the background there. Those are the ones that we have fun watching. It's just a shame that the biggest stage where you can have guys absolutely smash home runs and they just don't want to do it. It's a fans lose. That's all it's to it.
Four participants so far. Byron Buxton, the Nationals, James Wood having a great season. Ronald Acuna Jr., the hometown guy in the MLB home run leader. The man known as Big Dumper, Cal Raleigh, will compete in the home run derby. The hottest team in MLB, DRS, those Toronto Blue Jays. They win their ninth consecutive game, hammering the White Sox in Chicago. 53 wins now for Toronto after the 8-4 win, matching a franchise record for the most victories before that MLB All-Star break.
Yeah, I like it, man. I like what I see out of Toronto. We'll see if they're active at the trade deadline, too. But this batting, you know, that 1-9, those bats have awoken here on the season. It's fun to watch on a night-to-night basis. And they're supposed to beat the White Sox. Good baseball teams beating bad baseball teams. That's how you win a division.
Jose Barrios also pretty good yesterday for Toronto. DRS, more chaos in what has been a chaotic championships at Wimbledon. Yesterday in London, Yannick Sinner, world number one seed, trailing by two sets, down 2-0 against Grigor Dimitrov, the veteran who has retired now 10 times from a Grand Slam, his fifth consecutive time retiring because of injury from a Grand Slam. Dimitrov up 2-0 in the third, had to retire after he injured his pec. He's out. Yannick Sinner is on to the quarters, but lucky to do so.
I mean, my goodness, can you just go on with one arm out there and play? You got a 2-set lead. You're probably just as good. You can hang around in there. I mean, hey. It is what it is. But boy, on the biggest stage, you have that big of an upset that you're about to have, and you just have to retire at that point. That's tough news, man.
10 retirements in Grand Slams, by far a record in the world of men's tennis. Novak Djokovic rallying yesterday to advance to the quarterfinals as well. Carlos Alcaraz on the grass a little bit later on as quarterfinal Tuesday begins. Dawana Bonner, in her 1 year, not even a full year with the Indiana Fever, not pleased. She was bought out and released. So where is she going next? To the Phoenix Mercury to reunite with her fiance, Alyssa Thomas, who had her 16th career triple-double last night as the Mercury picked up win number 13. Absolutely hammering, as they did last night at home, the Dallas Wings by 30. By the way, for Alyssa Thomas, 16 career triple-doubles. Nobody else in WNBA history, DRS, has more than four.
And by the way, Dawana Bonner, 37 years old. What's the oldest player in the WNBA? Is she the oldest player in the WNBA?
I don't believe but we'll check on that, DRS. A question you asked that Google could have easily answered. Speaking of veterans, Kyle Lowry will return to the 76ers on a one-year deal. His 20th NBA campaign. How about that?
Ah, hometown boy here, doing good. And look, it's a veteran presence that comes off the bench. He probably got signed cheap. It's the way it is here. Kyle Lowry stays in Philly.
He's 39 years old, of course, played his college basketball at Villanova on the main line of the Pacers, confirming yesterday, DRS, that Tyrese Halliburton will miss the entirety of 2025-26, as we expected.
as we expected, too. But what happens if he does have an above-average rehabilitation process and the Pacers make the playoffs so he can come back? Does this mean he can't come back now because they said so? We'll find out.
That is the case, I think. The Pacers now 22-1, eighth best price to win the Eastern Conference. Sad times. More on the Early Line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Live right here on this Tuesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. A recap now and our reactions to a 10-game slate around Major League Baseball from a Monday. DRS following the 4th of July holiday weekend. I get 10 games on a Monday to start off a new midweek set around MLB. Not all that shabby. And the best team in Major League Baseball continues to be just that. Even when Kyler Montero gets the start for A.J. Hinch and Detroit, they still look good as a home underdog against the Tampa Bay Rays. Really closed as a pick'em price, minus 108 both sides for the Tigers and the Rays, but Detroit wins 5-1. Kyler Montero and the rest of the bullpen in the Motor City combined to allow just five base knocks and only a single earned run. The Tigers, 58 wins now, still the best mark in the bigs. 5-1 the victory yesterday in Motown.
Solid win for Detroit. You know, I had a team total parlay yesterday. It was an alt. I had two teams absolutely blow their, you know, number out of the water. And I had needed Tampa Bay to get the three runs. I only got one. And this is a Tampa Bay lineup that came in red hot over the past week to week and a half, scoring multiple runs, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 each and every game. And Montero held them down in some good hitting conditions. They got the one run in the third inning, didn't even sniff a run the rest of the way. Only five hits, as you said. The Detroit Tigers improved to 58 wins on the season. Impressive. And that's not even one of the guys they really count on when he gets to the mound.
In DRS, we used to joke about Javi Baez and the trade that ended him up in Detroit. He's an all-star. He hit a two-run shot yesterday. He has been absolutely balling out this year. Zach McKinstry going deep, as did the leadoff guy, Colt Keith, who had a home run and was 3-for-4 at the dish, scoring twice as well. Even with Kyler Montero out there, booked as an underdog earlier in the day and then closed in a pick'em price against Shane Boz and Tampa, a victory for the Tigers, who are now, as DRS alluded to, 58-34, the best record in Major League Baseball by two games in front of the LA Dodgers, who we'll talk about in just a moment, and 2.5 games in front of the Houston Astros, who we discuss right now, as the Astros were taking on a Guardians team in a terrible, terrible slump. They had dropped 10 consecutive games. They were swept by Detroit over the weekend, even on Sunday in the finale with Emmanuel Clase on the bump trying to close out a game. A wild pitch allowed the Tigers to tie it and send it to extra innings. But finally, the Guardians snapped that 10-game slide yesterday in Houston. A 7-5 victory, knocking off the Astros.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, too. And how about this? Only two players left on base here for the Houston Astros, which lets you know they didn't really have all that many opportunities. 1-for-1 with runners in scoring position. But if you would have told me before the game Tanner Bibee's not going to make it out of the fifth inning and give up four earned runs, that's an easy victory for the Houston Astros. But finally, the bats awoke there for the Cleveland Guardians to play seven runs. It's been a minute, it feels like, since that happened. We talked about yesterday, you know, Carlos Santana, Jose Ramirez, Kwan not really showing up. They put in some work yesterday, particularly Jose Ramirez, up to 298 now with three RBI knocks yesterday. And hey, Kwan, a base knock. Welcome back to the party, man.
Yeah, big stuff for Stephen Kwan yesterday. David Fry hitting a home run. Brian Rocchio getting involved as well. High scoring game yesterday in Houston. Yeah. Total was just 7.5 DRS. As you said, that roof was closed despite the warm temperatures in H-Town. And of course, they sky over, combining for 12 runs. All right, let's go to Milwaukee up next. A 2.5 game lead for Detroit for the best record in the American League and the best record in MLB over the Astros, two games in front of the Dodgers for that best record in the bigs. We asked how LA might bounce back yesterday with Yoshi Yamamoto on the bump in Milwaukee against Freddie Peralta. A good spot. The Dodgers, as is often and basically always the case, booked as a favorite. Not so much. You remember when Aaron Civale was traded a few weeks ago by Milwaukee? Andrew Vaughn of the Chicago White Sox getting dealt to the Brew Crew? Well, in his first game and his first at-bat as a Brewer against Yoshi Yamamoto in the home half of the first inning, a three-run home run. Yamamoto only recording two outs yesterday, and the Brewers blow out the Dodgers DRS 9-1 in Milwaukee. Four consecutive L's now for Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's tough. And by the way, who thought that was coming here yesterday? Okay, Peralta's a decent pitcher. Got Yamamoto on the other side, probably going to be an under. And it would have been if you told me that the Dodgers were only going to plate one run. But my goodness, Milwaukee struck early and struck often there, as you told me. You know, nobody gets out of Yamamoto not getting out of the first inning. Who's that on your bingo card? Absolutely not mine. Even though he got splashed, is he all right? He still went up to 2.77, which is still elite. That's a really good pitcher getting knocked around by not really a great lineup.
Five runs scored by Milwaukee in that first frame. Christian Yelich adding on later in the seventh with a two-run home run. A huge victory for Milwaukee, who now DRS 51-40, the Brew Crew. They trail the Cubs by 3.5 games within that National League Central. But there was a time late in May where we didn't think the Brewers were going to be in contention at all, not just for that divisional crown, but a wild card spot in a Milwaukee team that in recent years, of course, when you lose Craig Counsell and you lose some of those significant players, especially in the back end of the bullpen, Josh Hader, Devin Williams, we always expect this drop off each and every season for the Brewers. Hasn't happened. They have a winning baseball culture and they are a winning baseball franchise, 51-40. But on May 24th, they were three games sub 500, 25-28. Since that juncture, 26-12. Now, since the beginning of June, 20-12 DRS. That's the third best record in Major League Baseball since June 1st.
Yeah, and getting Woodruff back, too, also had a decent start there. Maybe he helped them as well. If they head into the trade deadline, maybe pick up some more ammunition. They do need a few bats in that lineup to sort of solidify it. But it is just what the Brewers do on a year-to-year basis. Like, they're not really on the level of, like, a Tampa Bay Rays, per se, but they do operate. It's not a big market here. You're playing a couple big market teams against you, like the Chicago Cubs. It's just that steady influence out there. They just have to hit. You need timely hitting out of the Brewers. But as you said, 51-40 now on the season, only 3.5 games back from the Cubbies. You'll take that every day of the week in Milwaukee.
If the season ended today, the Brewers would be that second of three wild card teams around the National League, and they have a game and a half advantage over the Giants for that second spot, trailing the New York Mets by a full game for that top wild card position in the NL. The Brewers, the third best record since the beginning of June 1st, despite a loss yesterday. The Astros are still 24-9 since the start of June. Who's got that second best record? The Blue Jays. They stay red hot. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We continue to recap a Monday slate around Major League Baseball. In the hottest team in the bigs right now and opening up a 3.5 game lead for the top spot in the American League East, that's the Toronto Blue Jays. Make it 9 consecutive dubs for Toronto, as we expected yesterday. DRS, a pretty hefty road favorite on the south side of Chicago against the White Sox. Jose Berríos delivers. They get plenty of action at the dish. Joey Loperfido, a home run and 3 RBIs as the Blue Jays make it 9 consecutive wins with an 8-4 victory over the White Sox. Toronto was a minus 168 road money line favorite. They cash that ticket. 9 wins in a row for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, 9 wins in a row for the Blue Jays, and maybe going to make it 10 today as they face Aaron Civale, which we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But I'm just impressed by the bats. Coming in, sometimes you take a look at teams and you equate it to like the NFL. It's like, hey, 2 years ago, really liked the Buffalo Bills. Maybe last year you liked them as well. It's like, ooh, now they're in the cut, the background. It's like, ooh, is this the chance that they can actually step up and rise to the occasion when, quote unquote, nobody's watching? That's what it felt like with the Toronto Blue Jays. One of those teams over the past 2 to 3 years. Look at all that talent. They're coming into their prime right now. Now's their chance to shine. And haven't done anything. So now all of a sudden you open up this season with not a lot of high expectations. You didn't start the season all that well, but here we are. Guys that you didn't expect, like the household names, like Nathan Luke's playing very well. Addison Barger, fantastic. Alejandro Kirk, the catcher, has been nothing short of sensational at the plate so far, and you still mix in the guys like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., George Springer, and Bo Bichette. Maybe it's a time where it's like, okay, we're supposed to live up to the hype. We didn't in the past. Now we're playing without all that pressure on us from the past couple years, and it's really coming to the forefront. And you can't say it enough. Like, heading into the All-Star break, you got to keep that momentum. What's the best way to do that? Obviously, play good baseball, but also who you play here. You're not playing the White Sox. You should just dismantle this team over the next couple days and continue that win streak, which I think they will do again tonight. But it's fun watching Toronto, and the same thing with the AL East. A lot of really good hitting ballparks. If you like team totals, RBI props, base hit props, that is your division here, specifically, Ben, in the summer.
Total 8.5 yesterday in Chicago, and it does sail over in DRS for the Blue Jays this year. Like you mentioned, maybe the trendy pick about 3 years ago to be that up-and-coming team to contend for the American League pennant. Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the young studs that were supposed to propel this franchise into the future. Still there, still contributing. Vladdy Jr. got paid after a weird offseason of negotiations with that franchise in the six. He got off to a slow start. The Blue Jays got off to a floundering start. They were never better in the first 2 months of the year than 3 games above 500, but never really worse than about 4 games below 500. Yet, we're still below 500 on May 25th, 25 and 27. From that point, 28 and 11. Again, that second best record in the bigs, now 23 and 10 since the start of June. Not just 9 consecutive wins, 12 victories in their last 14 games. The Jays continue to get it done. And because of it, in the Yankees struggles, a 3.5 game lead now for Toronto atop the American League East. Speaking of the American League East, and more offense yesterday, DRS, as we would expect, when you're playing the worst team in the American League and you are the hottest team in baseball, the Blue Jays against the White Sox yesterday, you take advantage. Toronto does. When you are playing the worst team in MLB and you are home on a warm night in Beantown, you take advantage as well. The Red Sox did. A 9-3 victory yesterday for Boston against the Colorado Rockies. 3 home runs as a team, including from the Rook, Roman Anthony, as well. Big win for Boston, as we expected. They were a minus 215 favorite or so yesterday against the Rockies.
Yep, lump up against the bad baseball teams yesterday. I did have Gomber as the worst pitcher on the card, and he certainly provided that offense there that Boston really needed at that spot. And they are looking to have that sort of surge before we get to the All-Star break. One quick point here back on the Toronto Blue Jays.
Please.
Play, and when you play them, you take a look at the Cleveland series. they won. The Boston series, which they won, swept the New York Yankees, which is fantastic. And that was a four-game sweep, which really propelled them at home. Now you're on the road against Chicago. You win game number one. You're going to face Savali in game number two. You should win that game with then a chance in game number three to sweep them. Do you know you go play before the All-Star break? Three games out there in Sacramento, which again, feisty team, but still not one of the upper echelon teams, more of the bottom echelon or the bottom feeders in Major League Baseball. Is there a chance that they can extend this streak right into the deadline, increase their lead even more in the AL East with that second half momentum? Watch the Blue Jays here over the next couple of days in great hitting environments as well.
Yeah, DRS, certainly a team to keep an eye on from a team total perspective. And even yesterday, after the 4th of July weekend, the Yankees avoiding the sweep in the Subway Series against the Mets, but now trailing by three games in the division, the Yanks were a slight minus money favorite. Not any longer. We'll further discuss that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A little focus here on the American League East as we continue to recap and react to everything we saw yesterday in Major League Baseball in a 10-game Monday slate. DRS, a lot of offense yesterday by the few American League East teams in action. Not so much the Rays, sorry to Tampa, but in Boston and for Toronto in Chicago, the Blue Jays score eight. They win nine in a row. The Red Sox score nine. They win four in a row in seven of their last nine as well. Again, the Blue Jays now a 3.5 game advantage over the New York Yankees for that number one spot in the AL East. The Yanks had the day off following the Subway Series and avoiding a sweep and snapping a six-game skid on Sunday afternoon. So Toronto now a 3.5 game lead. Yesterday, that was a three-game lead. Still pretty substantial in the changes we had seen in the last week or so in the AL East. And yet, the Yankees entered Monday, despite having the day off, a minus 105 favorite to win the division. The Yankees still remain the favorites at plus 105, but the Blue Jays back by now just 20 cents at plus 125. And to your point, DRS, Toronto can further extend that in the next 5 days or so until we get to that All-Star break at the end of Sunday's action in the major leagues.
Exactly, like the soft schedule right now, and it should be a lot of fun for those bats. Heat and humidity out there in Sacramento. You're catching some heat and humidity in the Windy City this week for them, but also understand this, like, you're going to need to go on these win streaks, winners of nine in a row, and certainly back 12 of the past 14 games. But you take a look at the Yankees again, who did win their last game, but 3-7 in their last 10. The same thing with the Tampa Bay Rays, 3-7 in their last 10. It's always great to say, because sometimes you look at them, and can't shake this team. We won 9 of 10, they won 9 of 10. Like, you love it when you go out and win 9 of 10 games, the other game goes wins 1 of 10 games. Man, you can really flip that division on its edge. And also, here come the Boston Red Sox, winners of 4 straight games, 7 out of their last 10, only 6.5 games back. It just seems like we have one of those races where how much, you know, water can Toronto tread here? Because if they're just going to stay 3.5 games, that's one thing. But if they can extend that to 4.5 or 5.5 games before the All-Star break, that's fantastic. Yeah. And now some would argue, wait a second, man, we might enter into the break winners of 14 or 15 games in a row. We'd rather just continue to play baseball. There's something for that. The same way with teams playing bad baseball, just get us to the break. Let's reconvene, get back into it in the second half of the Major League Baseball season. But I'm watching Toronto. Bad team this week, or excuse me, bad setup here in Chicago. Should I say bad team? Then you're off to Sacramento, another bad team. Lump them up, man. Let's go, Blue Jays.
And Donnie, we talked yesterday about your changed outlook perhaps on Toronto to be a true American League pennant contender.
Yeah.
Right now, where the Blue Jays stand in those AL pennant prices, plus 750. Yesterday, it was 8-1, still the fourth best price. But we'll note how much shorter that grows over the next few days into the All-Star break and perhaps out of it. Detroit is the best team in the American League and MLB. They are now the favorites, given the Yankees' struggles. Plus 260 on the Tigers. The Yanks and the Stros tied for that second best price at plus 350. By the way, the Red Sox, 4 straight wins, hammering the Rockies, as you would expect, 9-3 yesterday. Colorado is now 21-70. Let me repeat, through 91 games, 21 in 70. Of course, last year, the White Sox set the modern-day record for the most losses in a single season in MLB history with 121, 41, and 121. The record for Chicago last year through the 91-game mark right before the All-Star break. What was the White Sox record? 26 and 65. So 5 games worse, the Rockies. Yeah, it could be really bad the remainder of the year, as it has already been, of course, for those Rocks. Let's go to San Francisco, late night between the Giants and the Phils. DRS, you said we expected this game to stay under. It certainly did. Not a lot of offense. The Giants do win 3-1, scoring 2 in the home half of the 8th when the game entered that frame, tied at 1-1. You look at the box score, you try to find all the advantages. San Francisco scoring all 3 of its runs yesterday against the Phils, courtesy of the official box score, a fielder's choice resulting in a run. The Giants beat the Phils in the opening game of this midweek set 3-1. The Phillies kind of wasting another excellent outing and start out of Christopher Sanchez.
Yeah, it's one of those where you look at the Phillies and you say, you know, they're still in first place and all is fine and good, but the team should be hitting. Like, it feels like they are wasting like an all-time pitching staff. When I say wasting, they're 53-38. We haven't played the World Series. They didn't get knocked out of the playoffs yet.
Right.
But it's almost like if their bats just woke up and were average on the season every single night, outside of like a Taiwan, which you got Taiwan Walker on the mound tonight. Good luck with that. Outside of like a Taiwan Walker, it's like, oh, the Phillies might give up 2 runs. Like, ooh, I don't know if they can win that game then, because the bats have just been slow. At least Bryce Harper finally got a base hit yesterday. But again, you look at that 3-1 margin, another great pitching performance left up. And look at both teams yesterday. 0-9 with runners in scoring position for San Francisco. 0-6 for the Philadelphia Phillies. But this is what the Phillies do. Cool temperatures. They'll face a power left-handed arm tonight. They won't be able to touch him. And then the Phillies will move on their way and maybe get a salvage of the series. Because I don't know, maybe it's Logan Webb going to pitch in that third game. I'm not too sure. But the Phillies do what they always do. They will go to sleep in a pitcher's environment and just not hit the baseball. And that's the funk they're going to hit in San Francisco. I'd be shocked if they scored more than 3 runs tonight against Robbie Ray and the Giants.
Yeah, Robbie Ray on the bump. That total is 8, and the Giants a pretty hefty home favorite at -154. 7 innings of work for Christopher Sanchez, only a single earned run allowed, 8 Ks, and the Phils come out on the losing end. DRS, we were wondering what things would look like yesterday in the season debut of one Yu Darvish. Of course, had not pitched since the end of last year with right elbow inflammation. Well, he was back yesterday, 3 2/3, 3 hits, 2 earned runs allowed against the Arizona Diamondbacks, 63 pitches, about what we thought. Not the greatest outing, allowing a couple of earned runs, and the D-backs take advantage. Arizona beat San Diego yesterday inside Petco 6-3.
Yeah, and how about that? Ketel Marte was scratched before that game even started, but Corbin Carroll, 2-5. Lourdes Gurriel, 3-5 yesterday. Really powered that offense. And the handicap was yesterday was, I really don't know what we're getting here, because Zach Gallen hasn't been very good. Hey, look at Zach Gallen. 6 innings pitched, no earned runs given up. Yu Darvish coming back. Like, yes, a pedigree pitcher, but he's probably on a leash, and how effective will he be? Had 5 strikeouts over the 3 2/3 innings, but 3 walks and 2 earned runs given up at that spot here. Good win for the Arizona Diamondbacks, but that's as hard a handicap as you are going to get without expectations on what I was getting out of either pitcher yesterday.
And Yu Darvish does record the loss. He wasn't exactly hammered. The D-backs extended after Darvish left the game in his season debut in 2025, but a big win for the Snakes. Also kind of spoiling a historic night for Manny Machado in San Diego. He was 3-5 at the dish. That second base knock was the 2,000th hit of his career, the 5th active player to reach 2K base knocks, and then capped off the night with a solo shot in the 8th, albeit in a losing effort. So the Diamondbacks take the opening game of this 4-game set this week against their divisional foes, the Pittsburgh Pirates. DRS planked in all 3 games this weekend out in Seattle. Finally were able to score 4 runs, 3, staying under their team total of 3.5. Just so happened that Kansas City at home had a lot of offense. Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez hit 2 of the 4 home runs that KC recorded yesterday in the 9-3 victory over the Pirates.
Yeah, Sal's rolling on the Sunday Pro Baseball Show. I said, you know what, man? Give me Salvador Perez to hit a home run, and he did. And then usually those guys stay hot, which he did last night. It's funny. Say, hey, Pittsburgh scored three runs. They should be able to hang around in it. Not necessarily Heaney, who did have four earned runs only through three innings. That's a wrap of that. And like, Nolan Cameron's not even a great pitcher. Pittsburgh is just in a funk. And I love to look at Pittsburgh on a day-to-day basis because you just see, like, Skeens is so good and having an understanding. Again, Paul Skeens will never win anything because Pittsburgh will never hit a baseball. It's such an, like, we need a 30 for 30 on how the Pittsburgh Pirates will operate with Skeens, basically wasting a generational talent to, I don't know, sell tickets every couple days at home when he pitches. They're a waste. They're a wasted franchise right now.
Yeah, it is really disappointing for the Buccos and even Skeens, who pitched five innings of shutout baseball in Seattle on Sunday.
No matter.
His team was not able to record a win, losing one zip. Plenty more around Major League Baseball. A couple of more games to recap. Set the stage for where things are as we enter this full slate Tuesday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
10 games slate around Major League Baseball from a Monday to finish up the recap here bright and early on this Tuesday morning. The Miami Marlins playing better baseball, 8-game win streak that continued into the midweek set this previous week. They did lose their weekend series against the Brewers, but they start off their new midweek set in Cincinnati as an underdog and with a win, 5-1 DRS against the Reds, which, if I'm not mistaken, you said let's look at some plus money. Why? Because of that junky stuff on the bump. Jansen Junk yesterday, 6 innings of shutout baseball against the Reds in the Great American Ballpark, very much a hitter's ballpark, only allowing a single base hit. How about Jansen Junk on the mound yesterday for the Fish?
He's got good numbers. He really does. And it might surprise people because they're household names, typically with the Marlins, but also the Marlins getting back to that power surge. 10 base knocks yesterday, which equated into 5 runs. And even take a look at Brady Singer, who wasn't that bad. 5 innings pitched, 7 earned runs. You don't like to see, 7 hits. You don't like to see that, but only 2 earned runs, which should be just fine. But Junk goes out there, 6 innings pitched, 1 hit, no earned runs against a pretty talented Reds lineup. And as you said, a great hitter's ballpark. Nice win by the Marlins going on the road. And by the way, Xavier Edwards, 3-5 there in that leadoff spot. He's 289 now in the season. And Augustin Ramirez, you know, a really good prospect here. 2 RBI yesterday, going 2-for-4. He's now hitting 245 in the season. It's a fun team up and down for the Marlins. And sometimes you're going to catch that plus money on, hey, Junk's on the mound. The guy's actually a pretty good pitcher. Don't throw him in the junk heap at this point, man. I like him. I do.
All right, DRS. We like it too. What a great start out of Jansen Junk yesterday for the Marlins to pick up that 5-1 win. Yep. Not a great start yesterday in Anaheim out of Jacob deGrom, who had been lights out entering that start against the Halos. 9-2 this year with a 2.13 ERA. He had won his last 3 starts, and the Rangers had won his last 6 starts in a row as a team. Not yesterday. That win streak coming to a close in a wild game in Anaheim. The Angels win, as you see there, 6-5. Again, when DeGrom left the game, his team had a 1-run lead. But DRS in the home half of the 9th with the bases juiced and Nolan Chanuel at the dish. He recorded a walk, and the Angels walk it off. Bases loaded, a walk-off walk, 6-5 the victory for the Halos against the Rangers.
Yeah, I'd like to see that here for the Angels picking up that victory, but also, like, that's a tough loss for the Rangers to have. Kikuchi was on the mound. You're supposed to have the better pitcher. It didn't work out in that direction, but Corey Seager, 2-4 yesterday, another 2 RBI, another home run, up to 250 now. Still waiting for him to be like, okay, the Rangers are playing. This guy has to be on my card, and maybe that's going to be a good sign. Texas Rangers, it feels like they just have to get to that 500 mark and then say, okay, the war of attrition, we made it through. Now, let's start our season over and see if we could start climbing the standings for at least a wild card opportunity, because it just hasn't been their type of season yet, which included Corey Seager. Maybe he starts to wake up, which might be the biggest thing in that lineup overall.
Yeah, DRS, tough stuff yesterday for the Rangers. Hobie Milner was on the bump as the bases were loaded, called into the game, trying to get out of the inning if possible. He had an 0-2 count against Shanwell, who had fouled off a couple of pitches. And then a ball in four of the next five, that game-winning bases-loaded walk to walk it off for L.A. The Angels now, 44-46, actually a slightly better record than that of the Rangers, 44-47. Again, the issue this year for Texas is not their pitching, although last night wasn't great in a moment where it needed to be. They have only scored 345 runs. That is the third least in the American League. Only the Guardians and the White Sox have scored fewer, 319 for Cleveland, 315 for Chicago. A quick look around those pennant odds, again, in both leagues. In the American League, the Tigers, the favorites, plus 260, nearly a dollar in front now of both the Yankees and the Astros. DRS in the National League, the Dodgers, despite dropping four straight games, still plus 115 to win the NL pennant. The Phillies, the second best price of plus 480, more than $3 back. That has basically been the distinction all year long. The Cubs plus 550, the Mets at 6-1, and then another large drop off where we find San Diego at 17-1, and the Giants right behind at 18-1.
Yeah, it just feels like nobody really cares what the Dodgers do on a day-to-day basis. Just get me to September. If they're healthy, everybody's going to be just fine in that organization, including the starting pitching, which might include a legitimate lengthy start out of Shohei Ohtani heading down the stretch in August, September, and into October. They've now lost four games in a row, but nobody's panicking out here. Yes, we like the Cubs, and the Phillies and the Mets will brawl with each other, and maybe the Giants can find something here, but it is the Los Angeles Dodgers and everybody else, because once again, wait till that trade deadline. If they feel the need to get somebody else, and let's just say that starting pitching staff does get down the back stretch, good luck trying to chase down the Dodgers. They started the season as heavy favorites. They're still heavy favorites. And if they improve at the deadline, they will increase their lead as being heavy favorites.
No doubt, DRS. And despite losing four straight, the Dodgers still have the best record in the National League, a full game in front of Chicago, a game and a half in front of the Philadelphia Phillies, or 2.5 games now in front of the Phils, and still a 6-game lead in the NL East. I believe, if I am not mistaken, if the Dodgers win the division once again this year, that will be 12 NL West divisional crowns in the last 13 seasons. 6-game lead in front of the Giants. The Dodgers still a minus 160 favorite to have the best record in Major League Baseball at season's end, despite trailing the Tigers by 2 games for that best mark at this current moment. Plus 340 on Detroit to end up with the best record. Basically, the Tigers, since the middle of May, have had that best record in Major League Baseball, give or take a couple of days this season. And it should be noted, we talked about the drop-off from the Mets, 6-1, fourth best price, to the Padres at 17-1, fifth best number in the National League. The Padres would not be a playoff team at this moment if the season ended today, trailing their own divisional foe, the Giants, by a game in the wild card race, DRS. San Diego now 13-18 since the middle of June when they were 11 games above 500.
Yeah, waiting for them to get healthy, too. Like guys like Yu Darvish, get him back into the lineup. But also that lineup 1-9, it's real talented. Also, they are looking at Jarren Duran there from the Boston Red Sox. If the Boston Red Sox were to fizzle out and they get him, I need one more batter in that San Diego lineup, then we'll start popping.
Listen, the Red Sox, though, winners of four straight, 47-45, only 2 games out themselves of that third and final wild card spot the Mariners currently occupy in the American League. Some WNBA recaps next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Let's go around the association, and that association being the WNBA. Two games, a doubleheader on a Monday night in the WDRS. We start in Atlanta, where two teams who have been pleasantly surprising this year were squaring off last night in the A. The Dream, above 500, one of the better teams in the W. The Golden State Valkyries, the expansion team, above 500, entering last night. Two of our six teams in the WNBA with a winning record entering Monday. Now an even 500 for the Valkyries, but still an incredibly impressive showing so far this year ahead of the All-Star break for the expansion franchise. They have been so great in San Francisco, where they have been a community favorite, but on the road, now 2-6. The Dream winning by 9 last night, 90-81 at home. Atlanta covers as a 7-point favorite. DRS, a ton of points, though, and skying over a total of 158. A couple of all-stars for Atlanta last night leading the way. Alicia Gray, 24 points. She will be an all-star starter. Ryan Howard, a reserve. She had 15 points last night to pace things for the Dream.
And by the way, a new team coming into the WNBA sitting at 9-9 through 18 games is pretty impressive. Like from my days of growing up, expansion teams would lose for like 7 or 8 years in a row and not even sniff the playoffs. And now it just feels like, you know, I don't know if some of the rules have changed with how you build your teams, because even the same way in hockey, like Vegas coming into the league, they should have been a bottom dweller for 5 to 6 years. The guys are playing for Stanley Cups like year number one. So it is easier for these teams now to start up and get competitive right away. And good for the Valkyries out there. So you have that West Coast standard now. You have the Sparks down in LA, and now you have the Valkyries up there on the in the northern part of the state. Good stuff. It's good stuff for the WNBA.
It'll be interesting to see, DRS. Of course, we have talked about WNBA expansion. We know what is coming. Portland and Toronto next season. Then three more teams after that in Cleveland, Philadelphia, and Detroit as well by 2030. There is so much talent in the WNBA, but there are so many limited roster spots when you only had, up until last year, 12 teams. So as that continues to expand, there should be some players, of course, that can make their way in the W. We are seeing that. First-time All-Star, Kayla Thornton, by the way, for Golden State, 15 points, although a loss for the Valkyrie last night. Huge win for the Phoenix Mercury, speaking of another surprisingly great team this year. 13-6 now for Phoenix. Second-best record in the WNBA, only behind the Minnesota Lynx, and DRS, a 30-point win for the Mercury in the Valley last night against the Dallas Wings and Paige Beckers. It's been a struggle for Dallas to remain healthy. It's been a struggle for Dallas all year. Now 6-14, third worst mark in the WNBA. But man, for the Mercury, 36 points, 7 made triples from Sammy Whitcomb, the veteran, last night. And as we shared earlier, 16th career triple-double for Alyssa Thomas. Nobody else in WNBA history has more than 4. And that's Sabrina Ionescu, who has 4. Caitlin Clark, Candace Parker each have 3. And Alyssa Thomas with a 15-15-10 performance last night. Now has 16 in her illustrious and legendary WNBA career.
Game went over the total, too, 102-72. So you had two games yesterday. If you like points, you got them. Whitcomb there, 36 points. Impressive stuff last night. Wings, 6-14. What do you want? It's a team that's sort of building for their future with camaraderie. Might take some time at this point.
Could be a good addition on the way as well. We brought you the news earlier in this opening hour. Dawana Bonner will head to Phoenix, reuniting with her fiance, Alyssa Thomas. The two had great success the last few seasons with the Connecticut Sun. No Satu Sabally last night either for Phoenix, one of the better hoopers around the WNBA. DRS, two games on this Tuesday in the W, including Camp Day in D.C., where the Washington Mystics will host the Chicago Sky with an 11:30 a.m. Eastern time tip.
Yeah, do see. And again, tomorrow we have an 11 a.m. tip, a 12 o'clock tip, 3:30 o'clock, and then also there on Friday. So I like what they do in the summertime. Play these games during the day, man. You might be able to get some of those kids to watch, some of the kids to come play, but also more importantly, people just sitting around with nothing to do on a summer afternoon. They'll watch games here if they're on, and they'll bet accordingly as well. I love the fact that some of these teams are getting ready earlier in the day.
You welcome in the kids from camp. They get to see the WNBA. A great sign. 5-12 record for Chicago. Not great, but Angel Reese has been absolutely balling as of late. Her rebounds prop today, DRS, 13.5. She has had six consecutive games with at least 16 boards, and she has had five consecutive games scoring at least 15 points. Our other game in the doubleheader a little bit later tonight, that will be a rematch of the WNBA Finals a few years ago, the Aces and the Liberty. New York struggling, but back at home in Brooklyn, a five-point home favorite. Hour number two comes your way next.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.